Hallelujah. I want to share something with you. I want to get into the message. I want to talk about Joseph today. The title of the message is going to be Dream to Destiny. From your dream, the dream God's given you, into your destiny. I want to talk about that. I'm probably going to do part of it today and part of it next week. Amen. But before I go there, with all the things happening in the news lately, there's a verse I want to read to you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And if you would just turn with me there, 1 Corinthians 2, and we're going to look at verse starting in verse 6. Y'all can put that on the screen for us as well. 1 Corinthians, let me get there, 2 in verse 6. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible says here, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. So there's a message of wisdom among those who are growing mature in the knowledge of truth and the word. But not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. So there's a wisdom of the age, a wisdom of the world. A wisdom, you know, unfortunately, some of our college students in high school going out to learn, and a lot of schools taken over by, a wisdom of this age rather than true wisdom, praise God, from the Lord. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom. Another version says a mystery hidden, a secret wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. We sang about that glory, praise the Lord. So there's a secret wisdom, a hidden wisdom that the world doesn't understand, but this wisdom is destined for you and I, believers, glory. Hallelujah. Before time began, none of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Man, if they could understand what Tyler just said, the Father, the creator of all things, became a man and dwelt among us. If they could have seen him for who he is and understood, they wouldn't have crucified him and wouldn't be, marching against him today or against truth or against righteousness or against. So praise the Lord, they don't understand. However, it is written, no eye has seen nor ear has heard, or mine has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. He's saying a lot, the wisdom of the world can't see, can't conceive, can't understand what God has. But then the next line says, praise the Lord, but God has revealed them it to us. Everybody say us. That's me. So the world can't understand the secret wisdom of God. Are you with me? Are you listening? The world can't understand the secret mystery of God, but God has revealed it to us, the church, the body of Christ. We can know the one who created it all, and then his word who created it became a man, dwelt among us, and through relationship with him, praise God, we're born into the family of God. Now the spirit of the God who created it all, the one true God, lives within us. So what the world can't understand, we can. Amen. Amen. We can. We can understand what the world can't. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. The Spirit of God searches the deep things of God. Praise the Lord. Verse 11, for who among men know the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? Deep down, a man's spirit knows his thoughts, his understanding, his mind, his spirit connected in a way, in an understanding. No one can know except for the spirit inside. In the same way, it says, no one knows the thoughts of God except the spirit of God. Okay, but watch this. Some folks miss the real meaning of what he's saying. It's not saying we don't understand. Then it says this, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand. Hallelujah. So it's a secret wisdom. There's a hidden wisdom that the world doesn't know, but we as Christians born again Our sin has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, which makes us right standing with God. And because now we're in right standing with God, we can receive the Spirit of God to live on the inside. And the Spirit of God knows the mind of God. And we, the believer, has the Spirit of God. Amen. So we can understand things in a whole different light than the world understands. Wow. Praise the Lord. Okay. But the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This we speak, I'm in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13 now. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. I'm going to be preaching a message in Joseph today. From the Old Testament, but prophetically speaking, it's talking about Christ in the new and talking about your dream to your destiny as well. And only by the Spirit can you understand these deep spiritual things. Okay? It goes on to say, now watch this, verse 14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Folks, this is why we have division in the world today. This is why for a number of months there was such a fight over a Supreme Court nominee. Praise God. How many are glad he went through yesterday? Hallelujah. You can rejoice. It's okay. So half of you were. Okay. The other half weren't watching the news. A lot of folks today don't even have news. They just have Netflix, you know, which praise God, I get tired of it too. You know, you can watch it these days one day and turn it off for 2 months or a week and get the same thing later. So, you know, I go to different channels and get world news and stuff. But let me tell you what was really going on. You see, all of these things I see in the news, all of these things I see in politics and in governments, and man, I try to get news from other nations. I look at from a spiritual eye because we can. Because the Spirit of God, who searches all things, who knows things and understands things from a different perspective than the world, lives in us, the church. The world can't understand. It says right here, watch this. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Folks, only those who are born again have the Spirit of God living in us. So unless you're born again, you can't have a clue of what's really going on behind the scenes or politics or wars or anything else until you're born again and have the Spirit of God. And then you can see things with His eyes and understand because we have the Spirit that's from God. This is why I tell you, I'm not mad at folks who don't understand politics and world government and things like this. They can't understand it until they're born again. So what's my answer to them? Not to fuss and gripe and complain and get mad at them and hit the TV. My answer to them is love and grace to go into all the world and preach the good news that they might hear the word and change from the heart. That's the answer, church. Okay, because until you're born again, you don't have the Spirit of God. Until you're born again, you're not a child of God. Come on, the world has a false clue about that. Oh, we're all children of God. Where does it say that? It says to be a child of God, you must be born again. Amen. We're all created by God, and therefore we value each man because God so loved the world, and we value that, and we go with love. But you're not in the family of God until you humble yourself and admit, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved from myself. Jesus Christ, you died and rose again. I believe in you. And then it changes you. And then your perspective about the church, your perspective about life, your perspective about job, about politics, about everything changes because now the God who created you lives in you. Amen. Hello. Are you with me? Amen. So it's real clear here that without the Spirit, this is why folks are yelling and hollering and fighting. Please don't let this man be in the court because if he does, they might take away our right to kill our own baby within our womb. Come on, isn't that what it's really all about? Isn't that what it's really all about? Folks, if you don't know by the Spirit of the Lord, you will. If you're a believer, abortion is wrong. Two men sleeping together or two women sleeping together is wrong.
Amen.
Okay? Taking everybody's money and dividing it up equally among folks who don't want to work or do things is wrong.
Amen.
Freedom is right. Amen? Truth is right. Love your neighbor. Help the poor. Do good those who... All these things are right. But those things aren't government mandated. They're from Christianity, praise the Lord.
Amen?
It's a whole different perspective. So what we're looking at, and I'm not saying, look, you know, I'm not a... My commitment is to Christ. I belong to the kingdom of God. Every other kingdom's going to fall. Even this one. America. You know, it's the greatest nation on earth, and I pray for it. And we're to be involved in the political spectrum. We're to be involved in voting our values and speaking truth and doing right. We're to be involved in that. Amen? But praise God, that's not where my answer lies. Okay? The kingdom of God is going to last forever, and every other nation won't. But there's a perspective. It's not the culture of how you grew up or what your family was, whether your family was Republican or Democrat, whether the majority of your race is Republican or Democrat, whether you're from your, because you're from the South or because you're this or because you're that. No, no, no. When we're born again, our values change and we value life. Life right in the beginning of the womb. We value the sanctity of life. We value marriage. We value truth. Praise. We value marriage the way God created it between a man and a woman.
Amen.
Amen. We value covenant marriage for life. We value, praise the Lord, we value kingdom values. And then, so how we vote, how we think is affected by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. So it's not, you know, we got to look at the aspect of all the things. And praise God, most Christians in here, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. So I just want you to know and see, whenever you're looking at things, go deeper, listen to the Lord, pray about things and understand. Amen. We who have the Spirit of Christ in us, we see things different from the world, and that's going to continue.
Yes.
World is going away from God. And Christians are becoming more like Jesus. We're destined to be conformed to it. And there is a separation taking place. And that separation has clashes. And the clashes sometimes, you know, get crazy. So don't get weird about it. Recognize there's evil in the world. And you're a light that shines in the darkness. So we're not afraid to speak truth and speak up and see. Praise God. Goes on to say, amen. The man, again, let's look at it. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Speaking against the body of Christ, against his church. And the church, you're the bride of Christ. You're the bride of Christ. We speak, we build each other up, we encourage one another. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. The spiritual man, watch this, the spiritual man makes judgments about all things. This whole worldly idea, don't judge me, you know. Praise God, let me tell you something. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things. We make judgments, hey, you're raising a new baby, you're going to make a judgment whose home that child might go play with a friend. What kind of parents does that home have? Are they married? Do they go to church? Are they living right? Will you let your 3 or 4 year old go to a home where they're, you know, drugs and alcohol? You're going to make judgments. You're going to make judgments every step of the way about, hey, you're going to hire somebody for your job? You're going to interview them. You're going to look at them. You're going to see. You're going to make a judgment. Amen? We make judgments about fruit. What we don't judge is the heart, praise God, of whether or not they're going to heaven or hell.
Amen.
We reach out to those who aren't born again in love to try to bring them to the knowledge of Christ so that they may change. Only God makes the ultimate judgment of condemnation, of they're condemned to hell or not. Amen? We just love people. Praise the Lord. Amen? Well, then it says this. This is interesting. Verse 15. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things. Why? Wait a minute. It goes back to the verse ahead of it. We have the Spirit of God. Do you not know that you'll judge the angels? Do you not know Christians will judge the angels? The ones that left their first estate and came down and, you know, went off with Satan and came demonic realms and this. Well, the saints, you're going to judge them. Okay? The spiritual man makes. Why? Because we have the Spirit of God in us. So we can, the Christians can make proper judgments discerning by the Spirit. The world can't. The world can't make proper judgments because they don't have the Spirit. Watch this. Amen? The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand him because they are spiritually discerned. Man, it'd help you a lot if you're looking at it while I'm saying it, so it, you know, so you're understanding. I'm not making this stuff up. This is God speaking. Amen? You know? The spiritual man makes judgments about all things. Well, watch this. But he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. As a spiritual man, I can make judgments about all things because the Spirit of God lives in me. But no worldly person can, I'm not subject to any of their judgment because they don't have the Spirit of God. So if the world is fussing and complaining and fighting over spiritual things that they don't get, we don't have to accept that judgment. You know? That's what it says, church. Look at it. It's understanding. Amen. The spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to anyone's judgment. We, the spiritual man, we've been born again. Our sins are forgiven. Praise the Lord. I don't have a list of sins that they can bring up and judge me for back in my past or in my high school or in my college age. How many are glad you don't have sins that God's going to judge back in your past? Amen? So, I say they have no right to judge on that, praise the Lord, because spiritually, discerned, have no. So, we praise God. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things. Don't misquote me on here. I'm not saying it. I'm reading what God said. This is what God says. But he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. The body of Christ, the church, praise God. We judge one another and correct one another and rebuke one another where there's needed and give correction into people's lives and discernment and words of wisdom and words of knowledge. But the world can't judge us. They don't have a clue. They don't have the Spirit of God to make the proper judgment. Church, don't you know that Paul said, this is why he said, don't go to a worldly lawyer or a worldly counselor about your marriage, about your money, about things. You're born again. You belong to the kingdom. I don't go to a worldly tire repair man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They don't have counsel. Yeah, you want to go to the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Okay. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who can know the things of God? Who can know this mind of God? We, the Christians who have the Spirit of God, but we, and it closes with this in chapter 2, but we have the mind of Christ. The Christians born again have the Spirit of God. We have the mind of Christ, and the world does not. So we love the world like Christ did and gave his life for him, and we go to the world and reach out to them in love, but only when they're born again. You really have intelligent conversations with them. They don't see things the same way you do. You know? Things are spiritually discerned. Now, that was just a prelude. Talk about spiritual discernment of what went on these last few months. Okay? Y'all all right? Anybody agree with me? Anybody understand? Amen. So this conflict, not only in our government, but in governments around the world, is going to continue to be a conflict. You know? Praise God. In Africa, when we go to nations after election, sometimes we're holding off and waiting till the leaders tell us, you know, we're not sure about this conference yet. We're waiting for this election turmoil to simmer down before y'all come. Because, you know, I praise God in the United States with elections for all these years, when there's differences of opinion, after the vote comes down, gradually America settles down and accepts it, because we accept democracy. We accept the vote, the right of the people, but more and more it's getting the other way. Now you go to Zimbabwe after the election, man, there's still protests on the streets in Harare, where Clay and I were just a few months back, okay? Some of these elections, they come out in violence, and the other side doesn't back down and yield. They raise up a fight and an army, and they start rebelling with guns. All right, I praise God in America, even though there's conflict, we still have elections that after a while it simmers down, and we accept who was voted in. Let's pray that continues to happen. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, praise God. I want to get into the story of Joseph. So if we're going to put that one on live stream or internet, we'll cut it off right there and start a new one right now, okay? Glory to God. Glory to God. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. If you were with me there in Corinthians, flip back a few pages. Romans 5, verse 17 says this. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned, everybody say death reigned. Death reigned through that one man, okay? And we always talk about this, and we know through Adam, death reigned, okay? Sin came into the world, and it corrupted the whole world. The man who was put in charge, Adam, was corrupted, so it corrected his government over the whole world, and the whole world was corrupt. So death reigned through Adam. Then it says, but if that happened, if death reigned because of this one man's disobedience, I love this part, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus. So if death reigned through Adam, and those of us who are born again in Christ, how much more will life reign, and we're destined to reign in life in Christ? That's why I love the book Joseph Prince wrote called Destined to Reign. It's River of Life 101. If you haven't read it yet, praise God. I want you to read it, study it, go get it today. We got them in the shelf there. They're $10. That's just what we buy them for. Usually sometimes we buy them for $14. We just want to bless you. We want everybody who comes to this church, who wants to be a member, who wants to serve, to read River of Life 101, Destined to Reign. We want you to know that in Christ, you are destined to reign in life, not reign in death like Adam. Are you with me? Destined to reign in life. Another opening verse to this message. Flip a page, Romans 8, verse 29. The Bible says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. For those he foreknew. Remember, God is bigger than time. God is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He can be at the end the same time he's at the beginning. We can't fathom that part of understanding time. We have the Spirit, so we have a glimpse of it, you know? But the thing that he can be there and here, and he can see the future and knows what's happening, and he knows who says yes to his Son, and all those have said yes to his Son, you are destined. Everybody say, I have a destiny. You have a destiny to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. By faith in that word I just said, say this with me, I'm becoming more like Jesus. God said it. Agree with God. We just sang about it. Agree with what God says who you are. God says all of the believers, he put his Spirit in you, and because his Spirit is leading you to all truth, you are destined to grow up more and more like Christ. Amen. You're destined to be conformed to his image. Says it right there. By the Spirit working on me, hallelujah, leading me and guiding me, As I renew my mind to the truth of who I am, I start growing in the knowledge of truth, and it grows me up into Christ. We are Christian, Christ-like. Amen?
Amen.
We are Christian, disciples, followers of Him, followers of His teaching. We become like Him. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So you're destined. God has put a destiny. It's like the seed. Everything He created with its seed inside itself. Amen? The cotton plant seed reproduces more cotton. The apple tree reproduces more apples. The oak tree, that little acorn, reproduces more oak trees. And the seed of God, His likeness, was in you. If you receive Christ, you receive the very Word of God in you, and that Word will only reproduce its kind. It's going to reproduce Christ in you. Yeah, you might have fallen away, taken a detour here or there, got out of church, got mad or offended about something. That's Satan's biggest scheme. Get you mad. Oh, they said this about me. Or, you know, she don't like me. Or preacher didn't shake my hand. Or this or that or something. Or I fell hard. And I fell to sin. And I fell to a struggle. And now everybody's talking about me. Get over yourself. They're not. They're talking about their own kids' little league football game happening, or, you know, the game last night, or what's going on in their vacation next, in their own job. They're not all focused talking about you. That's a little arrogant, don't you think? People left church and say, man, everybody's looking at me talking about it. No, they're not. Half of them don't know you. What a strange excuse. Well, everybody thinks this. No, they don't. They're not thinking about you. You got a few close friends who are thinking about you praying. Those are the ones that are going to call you and say, hey, what's up? Are you okay? Don't think everybody else is talking about you. That's a little arrogant. Hello? I counsel marriage couples and stuff, and they say, well, man, everybody thinks this. I said, who? Man, half the folks don't know you. The other half aren't talking about you. They got their own problems they're dealing with. It's a little arrogant to think everybody's thinking about you. Isn't it? That's not a good excuse to leave the church. You're mad. Everybody's talking about you. You know, I used to be so afraid to speak in front of a class. I'd rather take an F than give a speech. I was like, oh, you know, I don't want to do that. I'll just take an F. You know, my grades went down. I had good grades and had an F in the part where I had to get up. Even in college, you had to take a speech class. And I didn't want to do it. Isn't that funny? God took a guy afraid to talk, made him a preacher.
Amen.
You know why I'm a preacher? Because God has a sense of humor. He can use any old jackass willing. Amen? He used a donkey, right?
He did.
So, but a teacher told me this. It was good. He said, the reason people are afraid to speak or get up in front of someone is because actually they're a little arrogant, thinking everybody's watching them or looking at them. So don't you know when you get up to give your speech, half the class aren't going to be listening? I trust that you are only because it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you and you love Him. Not because you want to hear what I got to say, because you're listening to God. You know? But anyway, when he said that, I said, you know, he's right. I don't really care. Get up and do my thing, and half of them weren't looking anyway. Amen? Praise the Lord. We gotta understand, don't let the devil's schemes causing you to be offended or mad at something run you away from what the Spirit of Christ wants to do in the body of Christ, the church. The church is the only body God has on earth. The church is the body of Christ. There's no other body. What He wants to do, if He wants to heal the sick, if He wants to feed the poor, if He wants to preach the gospel, He's going to do it through the body, the hands and feet. His hands and feet. We're His hands and feet. He doesn't have other hands and feet. We're His hands and feet. We're His mouth. You are. You are the light of the world. Why? Because the Spirit lives in you, the body of Christ. Amen? And He wants us to meet together, so I don't have to think and say, should I go to church Sunday? What do I? I don't know. I stayed up late playing a video game. Maybe I don't feel like it today. I don't make a decision based on my feel. They sang it. If the rocks are going to cry out, so will I. If they're going to worship, so will I. Praise God. I'm going to do it because he said so. And I'm going to be obedient and humble to him and say, Lord, your word says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as some people are in the habit of doing. It says that clear up. Do not forsake the assembling together of the body, coming together as a body, as some people are in the habit of doing. Some are in the habit of not assembling together. It says, the Bible says, God says, don't be like that. Don't be in the habit of not getting together. Then it says this, and all the more as you see the day approaching, the day capitalized. As you see the day is his glory, the day he returns. As you see that day getting closer, we're to meet together more, not less. That's why I'm trying to get some of you to get involved in one of the classes. Come a little earlier, get in a small group, meet together. Okay, come sometimes on a Wednesday night if you don't have something going on. Be a part, get together, be faithful, be diligent, you know? Come and be a part. He wants us to do that. He wants us. He says, praise God, we are that body of Christ. We're destined to be conformed into his image. How does that come? By faith, hearing the word and growing in it. Now go with me to Genesis chapter 3. Now I know this is going to be at least a two-part series, okay? Because I hadn't got to Genesis yet. Genesis. Praise God. 37. Genesis 37. We're going to talk about from dream to destiny, the story of Joseph. Ooh. And I could use a bottle of water, somebody. Amen. Is there one there, Rachel? Thank you, sir. Throw it. Okay. See, I can catch. Last week, I told everybody I wanted to play in the golf tournament. It's for the youth. It's a fundraiser, by golly. A fundraiser. Yeah. You don't have to be the best. And Brad, praise God, you know, even after announcing it, I didn't get any recruiting calls. The tournament is Saturday coming up at Black Bear for the raise money for the youth here. So today, I cornered Hayes in the hallway. Hayes, man. You got a full team? Finally, he let me on his team. So I'm going to play golf Saturday for a fundraiser. Amen. See, I can catch the water. I can hit a golf ball in the trees. Okay. Yes, sir. Is there catching and golf? Right. So then I asked Andrew if he had a team. Where's Andrew? I asked Andrew if he had a team. He said, well, it wouldn't be right for the sponsor of the program, you know, to win the tournament. I said, Andrew. So I talked to Matt about that. He said, tell Andrew not to worry about winning the tournament. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Genesis. Thank you, Hayes. Genesis 37. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17. Everybody say 17. Okay, so here's where his story begins in the Bible here. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the son of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Wow. Not too good so far. Now, this is Jacob. Remember, it goes like this, guys, if you missed some Sunday school lessons. God had made a covenant with Abraham. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. And Jacob had, remember, Leah and Rachel, and also their handmaidens. So he ended up with 12 kids. And those 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. The whole rest of the Old Testament is about those 12 tribes, okay? Now, in his older life, he had the last two sons, Joseph, through the wife, Rachel, one he loved most, supposedly, Joseph, and then Benjamin. So Joseph is his youngest boy at the time. Okay? He's 17 years old, and his father sends him out, go check on your brothers who's tending the flocks. They used to carry these flocks great distances, you know, to go eat. And so go check, and he would come back, and he'd come back and he'd give negative reports about his brothers and what they were doing. Doesn't go on to elaborate on all that. But you know, so he's kind of telling on his brothers. Okay, let's see from here. Now Israel, that's Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So when we speak about the nation of Israel, we're talking about Jacob. That's his name now, Israel. Okay, so Israel loved Joseph more than any of his sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made a richly ornamented robe for him. We've all heard about the coat of many colors. Had this specially made robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Well, he might have brought some of this on himself. Some I don't know. But anyway, they were against him. And they couldn't say one kind word to him, the youngest of the family growing up, all his older brothers against him. Maybe some of you have felt like that in your life. Maybe you've been, you know, family against you, people against you, different ones, struggling. Let's look at this story and what happened next. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. I believe, praise God, we are to confess with our mouth what we believe in our heart and speak the word. I'm talking about speaking what God says about you and things. But there's some things it's time to like hold them for a while. Some things it's better. Hey, Mary heard a word about being the mother of Jesus and she pondered it in her heart and she held it. She didn't go telling everybody what was going to happen, you know. She told her, it's good to have some people you can confide in. And apparently Joseph's brothers hated him and he knew that. He might have went to some spiritual brother down the road that he was friends with, that he went to synagogue with, that he trusted, that he could have told about his dream. You know? Sometimes it's good to have somebody you can trust. If you got something to say, something you're praying about, something you're having to struggle with, you know, you don't have to get up and tell the whole church. You know, not everybody's spiritually discerning in here. Okay, it's good to have a small group. It's good to have a few in your circle that you can talk to, that you can trust, that you can pray about. If you're having marriage trouble or whatever, don't go to your friends and family that are all divorced. Go to the ones who have a good marriage, that are strong, that have been proven tested and faithful, and they're spiritually discerning, and that go to church and have a job and taking care of things. Speak to them. Amen. Amen? So Joseph has this dream. The first thing he blabs it out to all the people who hated him. They're not going to receive it, are they? You get a word from the Lord. I mean, I've had different words from the Lord and things that have happened to me that I haven't told anybody. Just my wife or just a few close friends, you know? Because if I did, some folks would think I was weird. Hey, spirit searches deep things, man. You know? Praise the Lord. Anyway. Okay. So he has this dream, and now he's going to tell his brothers. Verse 6, he says to them, listen to the dream I had. He says, we were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while all your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed to it. Now, when you tell 11 big brothers, you know, that they're all going to bow down to you, and they already hate you, they're not very receptive. But this is what he saw. And folks, his dream was from God. His dream was from God. Okay? The Spirit of God, what I'm saying is, you have a destiny to reign. You've been given desires, gifts, talents, abilities, dreams inside of you. And praise God, God put those there. You know, I like what Dr. Smith said on one of his Parenting Matters videos. I try to repost them. That so many schools and people and things try to focus on your child's weaknesses. He said, no, focus on their strengths. Praise the Lord. Look at where people are gifted, what God has given them, and run with those things. Okay? You don't have to be good at everything. Be good at what God's called you to be good at and put gifts in. Run there. Amen? Praise the Lord. I don't try to fix the car. I take it to Mike. Okay? I can't fix the car. I'm not good at it. I can have a long list of things I can't do. Okay? I don't try to do them. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying, you know, but anyway, so here he has his dream and he tells his brothers and he says they're going to bow. And then his brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule over us?" And they hated him all the more because of the dream. Then he had another dream and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream in the time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father, Israel, rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Israel was a little more spiritually, if he rebuked him at first, but then he thought about it some more. Like, this could be from God. Now, folks, the rest of the story starts going into Joseph's preparation to live out his dream. So he had a dream inside of him and he had a destiny to get there. But the road there, he had to go through many tests. And y'all know the story. We're going to talk about it some more next week. The first one was they threw him in a pit. They were going to kill him, but instead they put him in a pit. Some of you might feel like you're in a pit right now. You know, some of you might have been to prison, might have been to a rehab, might have been in a struggle, might have been separated, might have been going through things. Some of you might feel you're in a pit right now. And I want to tell you, you have a destiny, and your destiny is to reign in life. Your destiny is to not let the ones who hate you put you down and keep you in a pit. The destiny is not to hold you back. You have a destiny, and your destiny, according to God, is to reign in life. Not to be defeated in life, not to be defeated in your finances, defeated in your marriage, defeated in your home, defeated in your children, defeated in your life. No, your destiny is to reign. God has put that in his children, and praise God, he's bringing you there. And if you will be obedient, hallelujah, and stay faithful to him, you'll come out of those tests that a lot quicker. Amen. We're going to continue teaching on this and take you through the story. I want to challenge you to go this week to Genesis 37 and start reading the story of Joseph. Read the story of Joseph. Get ahead of me where I'm preaching. Read what he did. Read all the way through. And when we come back next week, there's a Fresh Start graduation, but I'm going to have some time. We're going to talk about it, and we're going to continue in the message of Joseph. Let me prophetically give you something toward the end that I'd like to give you right now. Amen. This is a prophetic story. It happened. It's a picture of Christ. It's a picture of Christ. His brothers rejected him. Jesus came to his own, and his own knew him not and rejected him. Amen? But it was his destiny, Jesus' destiny, to be the savior of the world. Guess what? Joseph ends up in Egypt, you know the story, and he ended up praising God, being the leader, praise God, of all of Egypt. And when there was a 7-year famine in the world had to come to him for salvation. Okay? He was rejected by his own, but he ended up being savior to his own and to the whole world. Amen? The same picture. Joseph is a type and shadow foretelling the story of Christ. And not only that, the first time the brothers came to him after they tried to kill him, the first time they came for grain, they didn't recognize him. The first time Jesus came, the Jews didn't recognize him as the Messiah. Praise God. The next time they came, hallelujah, they were tested and tried in the tribulation. And during that time, they turned and repented and mourned for the one that they crucified, and they received him. The second time they come, praise the Lord, Joseph welcomes them and he blesses them. And then, praise God, he says, "Move your family and come live with him." And he dwells with them. Amen. The story of Joseph is a prophetic picture of the story of Christ. I encourage you to read it. Talk about it with a few folks. Come back next Sunday and let's finish this.